listening to Alpha Geek Radio.
The following is a production of Galactic Netcasts. It's Thursday, June 30th, 2016. Welcome to the Alien Invasion number 188, a production of Galactic Netcast. I'm Dave Nelson. And joining me this week for the on vacation, Anessa and Brad, it is the host of Who Knew in Reviews and the Sci-Fi Survival Guide on the Galactic Netcast Network. Welcome, Daryl Johnston. Hello, Daryl.
Hey there, Dave. How's it going?
Good. I said your name weird. I said Johnston.
Well, I'm after the last couple of weeks in British politics and what my country's doing, I'm happy to have a little French twist.
Oh, okay, let me ask you, because turmoil, craziness there. Are you actually considering maybe moving to a different country or a different part of the UK, maybe Scotland or other places?
Ireland is attractive. We have family out there.
Okay.
I don't know if they have internet out there. I shouldn't say that. Fortunately, our Irish friends would totally understand. It's meant in jest. Got a lot of love for Ireland.
All right, so I want to do a real quick thank you to Monkey Warhol. He is an electronic musician from my hometown of Minneapolis who provided our new intro music. It's a song called Alien Syndrome, and you can find out more about him at soundcloud.com/Monkey Warhol. And he's actually got a brand new video called Lovely Lady. Lovely Lady. Just go to YouTube and type in Lovely Lady by Monkey Warhol. You can check it out. We'll put the link in the show notes as well. All right, so this is the show where we talk about beings from elsewhere in the universe and their appearances in film, TV, video games, comic books, science, and real life. I could go on, but I will not. The show is divided into three sections: the news, the sightings feature, and our picks for the week. So let's get the show on the road. Start it with the news.
In the news.
All right, Daryl, are you familiar with Tom DeLonge? Do you know who Tom DeLonge is?
Yes, I am. I almost had this news story myself, Dave.
Really?
Really. He's the Blink 182 chap, isn't he?
Yeah, Blink 182. Well, he used to be. He's not with the band anymore. He quit to work on UFO stuff.
That's what you do in your job.
Okay, let me give you a little backstory. So he's owned and operated a Mysteries of the Universe type website for a long time. And in February last year, he told Paper Mag that he had made contact with aliens. Now DeLonge is claiming that his pursuit of extraterrestrials actually is why he left the band. I don't know when he left. I think it's a pretty recent occurrence, actually. In the interview with Mike, DeLonge said his work is a national security issue and that he knows of stuff he can't talk about right now. After being prompted by the interviewer to talk about aliens, DeLonge clarified that the UFO truther community doesn't really call them aliens, saying, "That's a term people throw out there, and rightfully so, because the government spends a lot of money and time throwing that term out there." When asked for evidence that extraterrestrials exist, DeLonge told the site that, "I don't think I'm going to be the person that offers the best evidence unless people really trust what I'm doing and believe me. There's been hundreds and hundreds of thousands of eyewitness accounts, trace evidence that's been analyzed by scientists across the world. Events have happened on the ground. It's all around us, Daryl."
He's not the first musician to do this, though, is he, Dave?
I don't think so.
Robbie Williams from Take That. He took a hiatus to spend his time professionally looking for UFOs.
Really?
Is it a muso thing, do you think?
I don't know. I think they get like way too much time on their hands on the tour bus and maybe end up on the wrong websites. And or it's the drugs, or it's the rock and roll is what it is.
The rock and roll.
Yeah.
Must get myself some of that.
Okay, there's one more little piece here. Though it was touch and go for a while when DeLonge left Blink early last year, he seems to have since come to terms with the departure, telling Mike, when you're an individual like me dealing with something that's a national security issue and you're being gifted with the opportunity to communicate something you've been passionate about your whole life, something that has the opportunity to change the world over time, being a small part of that is enormously important for my life path. So this isn't like a recent occurrence for him. It sounds like, from his own quote, it's been a lifelong thing for him.
If you are passionate, you've got a job that pays the bills, but you've got a passion that you can turn into a job which presumably pays the bills. Yeah, sure, why not?
Yeah.
It works wonders for David Icke.
Hopefully he saved enough with his time with the band that he's going to be able to go on this little... I'm sure this has the potential of making some kind of money.
If it was me, I'd want there to be that at the same time because you still have to eat.
Oh, Daryl, unless he is an alien and he doesn't have to eat.
Now, I was just about to say the very same thing, but that's only because I saw on a conspiracy website recently about the many deaths of celebrities and their connection with UFOs. I chose not to run that as a story, Dave. It was just too far out even for me.
It sounds interesting.
It really was, literally. No. These people haven't died. They've been taken by aliens.
Oh, okay.
But maybe that's what happens to musicians.
That's possible. Yeah. Okay, so real quick before we move on to Daryl's story, don't forget that you can follow us on Twitter, like us on Facebook, or subscribe to our YouTube channel. Watch our shows later. Like, we're live right now on YouTube, but you can watch this video later, or you may be watching us later. Who knows? Hello, future people. What you do is you just search Galactic Netcast on those networks, or just go to our website, gncasts.com, and you'll find the familiar social network logos in the upper right-hand corner. Click on those, and you'll find us on the appropriate ones. Okay, Daryl, what did you bring for your news story on this episode of the Alien Invasion?
There's two things, Dave. The first thing is actually quite recent, where aliens have landed in London and said, take me to your leader. Unfortunately, the aliens are still there in London. But, Oh, yeah. Topical news.
Nice.
Jokes. Yeah. Thank you. I apologize. Sorry.
No, it was good.
I apologize. I've had that there for days.
Just ready to spring it.
Oh, yes. Now, this news story is one which surfaced a week or so ago, and it's actually quite an odd one. Now, I'm not a biologist or a geneticist, so I don't know the validity. We know that humans have four general blood types, A, B, AB, and O. The classification is derived according to scientists from proteins which are found on the surface of cells, which are designed to fight off bacteria and viruses in the human body. So far, so good.
Yep, I'm with you on.
The vast majority of human beings on this planet have the proteins, which means they are recess positive, but a minor group, the recess negative, lack these proteins. Now, scientists believe they have found out a fascinating thing in regards of recess positive and negative. According to this scientific theory, in a distant past, extraterrestrial beings visited Earth and created through genetic manipulation, the recess negative, and the intention of creating a race of slaves.
Oh my gosh, this is an amazing revelation. I never thought I'd see the day that something like this would be revealed.
This has occurred in popular science fiction, Dave. The Christmas episode involving the Sycorax, one third of the population was controlled by their blood type.
Yeah, I remember that.
I don't know
now
whether it's a popular sort of belief. Now, this goes on. The Basque people of Spain and France have the highest percentage of recess negative, about 30%, and about 60% carry the gene. Now, according to investigators, this would explain why recess negative mothers do not tolerate fetuses with recess positive blood. Now, this is true. I might not be into biology or geneticists, but my wife is, so I did actually ask her. And this actually happens. If a mother is recess negative, but her unborn child is recess positive, there is a chance, quite a big chance, which is why they take special care, that child will be rejected by the mother.
Hmm. Interesting. I didn't know that.
Neither did I. It sounds terrifying. The theory of this goes back to ancient Sumerian times when a highly advanced alien race came from elsewhere in the cosmos. The Anunnaki.
Brad and I have talked about this alien race on many episodes. In fact, I think it goes back to episode one of the alien invasion. We talked about these guys.
Apparently, these were there building and creating the first human societies. It's believed that these ancient beings, ancient aliens, it's believed that these ancient beings altered primitive humans, creating stronger and more adequate beings used for slaves. We've provided a link to this in the show notes. It's got a little bit more information on it. Also, a few passages from the Bible which people think actually are referring back to this, such as the sons of God saw the daughters of men, that they were fair, and took them wives, all of which they chose. I think so. Fantastic. So, do you know your blood type, Dave?
Yeah, I was going to ask you the same question. Yes, mine is AB negative, so I'm an alien.
You're an alien.
What's yours?
I have no idea what mine is, but I think being ginger, I've got enough issues with connections to ancient aliens without my blood type as well. I think I'm a positive blood type.
Okay. Well, you're a positive person, so that would make sense.
Well, I certainly try to be. But quite often in science fiction and in alien stories, there are these tales of ancient aliens visiting and creating and molding the human race. Your ancestors, Dave.
Yeah, they are. That's probably one of the most interesting stories that we've talked about here on the alien invasion for a long time. I'd like to know more, so I may click on the link and read it later on.
Well, it's going to be there in the show notes, Dave. The more information you can find out about this, the better.
Yeah.
Just in case they come back for you, Dave.
I know. You have to be prepared, you know?
Yeah.
All right. Before we wrap up the news, just want to ask you real quick to visit a webpage. And the webpage is GNCasts, that's GNCasts.com/support. And on that page, you'll find links to our Patreon campaign, where you can make a reoccurring monthly pledge. If you shop on Amazon, you can click on the affiliate link on that page as well. And whatever you search for through that link and buy, a very small percentage, like 3%, goes to us. Or just do the reoccurring monthly donation at our Patreon page. Either way, both of those can be found at GNCasts.com/support, because what we need this money for are things that need to get paid every month. Like, we have our website and then we have our audio hosting, both things that are vital to keeping the Galactic Netcast Network on. So you can help us out with those by going to GNCasts.com/support. So, final news story, WGN. If you don't know what that is, Daryl, because you are in the UK, WGN is a cable channel in the States.
Okay, I've heard of them.
It's based out of Chicago originally. WGN is prepping Roadside Picnic series based on the classic sci-fi novel. Have you ever heard of Roadside Picnic?
No, I haven't.
Deadline reports Watchmen alum Matthew Good. And I'm not sure who he played in Watchmen. Are you familiar with Matthew Good?
I share the rather snobbish view of the Watchmen film, like a lot of comic book nerds.
Yeah.
I don't know who he is, okay. And I wouldn't watch the film out of respect for Alan Moore.
Okay, all right. Fair enough. I enjoy the film. I've seen it a few times. But I'm not originally a comic book nerd. Like, I've only become a comic book fan and superhero fan the last few years, so I don't have that reverence towards, you know, the original source material like you do. So I did appreciate the film. I don't know who Matthew Good is either, but he signed on to star in the pilot based on the 1971 novella written by Arkady and Boris Stragatsky. The story is set in a near future where aliens have long since left as mankind tries to make sense of the mysteries they've left behind. It will follow a man named Red, played by Good, a quote-unquote stalker who makes a living scavenging through the abandoned alien cities. His character is described as an enigmatic blue-collar contradiction, capable of both quiet intelligence and ruthlessness from one moment to the next. Rounding out the support cast, Red has a wife and daughter, both yet to be cast. The series is in development now with a pilot commission, so we'll see if it goes any further than that. It may just end up being a made-for-TV movie.
I'm not familiar with the story, but I know I'm going to find out tomorrow, because I don't think we can have too much science fiction alien dramas on TV.
No, and it seems to be there's a lot of sci-fi, alien or not, coming to TV. There's a Netflix series that's going to be the remake of Lost in Space that we're going to talk about this week on the Sci-Fi Geeks Club. I'm pretty excited about that. And then there's some other stuff that has been in development for a while that we have yet to see. And I don't know about in the UK, but in the States, this fall, there's like 4 time travel series that are starting.
I love me a bit of time travel, Dave. That's good.
Yeah, me too. Big fan. All right, so we'll have the link to all of our stories in the news this week in the show notes, or just go to gncasts.com/aliens. Hauntings, sky sounds, parallel universes, monster sightings, the New World Order, ghost ships, urban legends, mysterious radio broadcasts, and secret government facilities are just a few things we've talked about on Weird World Weekly. Listen to find out what's next. Go to gncasts.com/weird to listen, find out more, and subscribe to the podcast that discusses the paranormal, mythological, conspiratorial, unexplained, or anything else we think is a little strange and out of the ordinary. Also, Matt's continuing search for turkey recipes. It's all on Weird World Weekly, part of the Galactic Netcast network of shows, also available wherever you listen to podcasts.
Please identify the craft you witnessed.
A black, triangular, three-dimensional shape, huge, just flying, hovering in it.
Shaped like almost like between an egg and like a teardrop.
Two long cylinder objects flying over me.
We had a dome. I could see the occupants in it.
It appeared to be rotating, and it was almost circular to disc shape, and it hovered for maybe about 5 minutes.
All right, it's time for sightings. These are actual reports from actual people of actual things that could be or could not be, we're not really sure, alien craft of some kind, and you brought something in from the British Earth and Aerial Mystery Society.
Beams. When you'd asked me to look for a sighting, I thought it'd be only right if I included a British sighting.
Of course.
And then I stumbled across this website, and it's fantastic. Some of them are just, I saw stuff in the sky. But mm-hmm. this is a recent one from 9th of June this year.
Just a couple weeks ago.
It occurred in Borehamwood. Now, I don't expect you to know where that is. Essentially, it's a suburb of London.
Okay.
I heard an explosion, so I took a look outside. I saw this object in the sky. I'm not sure how high or how big it was, but it had a circular shape. Then it suddenly flew away in a blink of an eye. 30 seconds later, a fighter jet came over.
Ooh.
I have no idea what I've seen. I managed to take a really good picture of it before it flew away. Now, there's some further stuff, but let's have a look. This is a blown-up picture. That's what he took.
Wow, that is a really good-looking picture. Hang on. Let me make sure that you're... So if you're watching us on YouTube or if you're watching us live, he's actually holding up the picture that this person saw. That is a really convincing looking UFO.
I mean, you can see it's got structure to it. These four corner lights, they're very, very evocative of some sort of engine propulsion. I thought that was a brilliant picture.
It's got definition. You can see an outline of the actual structure of the craft.
Yeah, absolutely. Now, I don't know if you are aware of this, but where Borehamwood is, there is a no-fly hours through the night. So it can't be a conventional aircraft because they're not allowed in the airspace overnight. This chap, a couple of days after posting first of all on Beams, came back with a lengthier statement. He goes on to say, I think the object must have been about 500 meters. So that's a sizable. I'm not sure of the size, but it wasn't small. My first instinct was a drone because of the lack of sound. But when it flew over, I am very sure it was not a drone. This thing went from zero to insanely fast instantly. I've had a few experiences during my life, once when I was a child, I was asleep and woke up. I looked outside and saw a huge flashing oval object moving slowly with several smaller ones moving faster about it. I'm not sure if I was dreaming this because I was very young, but it felt real at the time. I also had about 2 months ago, I woke up during the night and for some reason I felt the need to look around. I looked at the end of my bed and I could see a figure standing there. I didn't feel scared and I just went back to sleep. The morning I woke up and it suddenly hit me what I saw. I suddenly felt shock as if all my emotions at the time were delayed. 3 foot tall with very slim neck and a large head, greyish skin, no hair, almond eyes the size of a child's hand, a mouth a bit smaller to mine and lots of wrinkles on its forehead and around the mouth area. I didn't tell my girlfriend who was next to me. I told a few people I work with, but everyone thinks I'm crazy and laugh it off. I've been a bit off since then at night. I don't tend to rest easy when it's dark and I can't see much, so I've resorted to a nightlight. My girlfriend doesn't mind because she noticed I'd get in bed with my eyes open until I fall asleep. So do I.
I think most people do, actually.
Yeah. No, I think he's. I think what he's trying to say is he's sort of almost wired before he goes to sleep. I had a bit of light when this experience happened because I have a light in the back garden I can turn on. The experience has left me aware that I'm pretty sure we are not alone in the universe. I tell my stories, but I don't expect people to believe. I'm keen to get this image out there because I know that this was not human technology. If it was, then something is clearly being kept secret. I'd love to see an edit so I can get a clearer image. You can clearly see its shape. Four lights that look as if they may not be evenly spaced. It looks like there could be windows of some sort, but that could just be a reflection.
Yeah, I'll see it again.
So he's saying that you can see where it's lighter around here, that he suspects that that is some sort of window at the front of the vessel. Now, it would be really easy to discount this thing as maybe it's a low cloud, maybe it's reflections. But by the sounds of it, this chap has had previous experiences, and a lot of people that experience UFOs have had previous experiences. It's not like, oh, look, there's a UFO, I've seen one. It's something which follows them around at different points in their life. This website is full of fascinating phenomena. I suppose it's like a British wing of MUFON.
Mm-hmm. That's what it sounds like.
Yeah, it had quite a lot of links to YouTube clips of UFOs, and also like this gentleman, photographs. This chap even tells you what camera phone he was using at the time. That was taken on a camera phone. So it's not. It's not a place of crackpots. They take their investigations quite seriously. It's really good sign.
It sounds like this person should maybe see like a hypnotherapist, because I'm thinking if he were to go through a couple of sessions, he may realize that his experiences with extraterrestrials goes deeper than just seeing the UFOs and that figure at the in his bedroom. Don't you think?
Yes, I do. But if it was myself that had seen that, I don't know whether I'd want to relive it or not.
That's a good point. Yeah.
Yeah. Would you, Dave?
I don't know. I'd have to think about it for a while. But if it started affecting me, like maybe I was having an experience where I was abducted, but it started to kind of bleed into my real life, like affecting me personally, I think I would probably look into it. But I think if he's happy living his life, then go for it. Don't get hypnotized, because that could make it worse. Who knows? I don't know.
It sounds like he wants he wants to take more photos. It does read it scans as you read it as quite an upbeat thing. And he knows by saying, "Hey, this is what I've seen." He knows that people are going to be a little bit standoffish with him.
Yeah.
But he's still got that wanting to go forward and learn what it is. And I think that's quite an adventurous attitude to have.
He's a true believer.
He is. Aren't we all, Dave?
Yes, we are. All right. Thank you for the sighting, Daryl. We'll have the link in the show notes. You could read more about it. To make this podcast better, we would love to know two things from you. What's your favorite part of this podcast? And what do you want to get out of this show? If you could, please answer one or both of those questions and send it to us via email, aliens@gncasts.com. That's aliens@gncasts.com. Or leave your answer via voicemail by calling 805-328-3966. Again, what's your favorite part of this show? And what do you want to get out of this podcast? aliens@gncasts.com. 805-328-3966. Your answers will help us improve the show and make it even better. And speaking of little feedback, we got some this week from Pablo Marini. He is a regular. He's made comments before, and he's a part of our Google Plus community, actually. We don't really, and this is what he said. I forget which episode he commented on, but it's just basically a generic statement about aliens. We don't really know what alien life really looks like. Sure, it would be, it would have to abide by the same chemistry and physics rules as ours, but their body might be anything under the sun when you consider how organisms looked like for the first 4 billion years on Earth, and how humans came to be after the demise of the dinosaurs. Their way of using a brain for thinking might be totally different from ours, or even from any other life here on Earth. But if they really are capable of telepathy, could that be the reason why they don't need to show up in persons, but simply snoop on our thoughts from that far away? Even the alleged encounters and abductions could simply be part of their brain powers by way of projecting into the minds of individuals or a group of people over here without having to actually be here. That's an interesting theory.
I was going to say that makes sense. We see things through human eyes, and that's how our brain rationalizes it. We look at a tree and we see a tree because we know what a shape of a tree should look like. But if it's an alien, how do you perceive that when they're trying to put something in your head that you have never witnessed with your human eyes? Your brain would interpret it, and that's how I believe we get things like the little green men.
Huh.
Because that is our human conditioning saying that this is what to expect.
That is very interesting. I never thought of it that way. Okay. He's got one more paragraph. After all, our brains work on electricity, as do our muscles. And there have been several experiments that show how a strong magnetic field can affect our movements or even our thoughts and other brain functions. So it's not too far-fetched to think that an advanced civilization who has mastered EM waves better than us, or possibly understood how dark matter travels, might have this kind of control. We still don't know whether dark matter carries any kind of information, maybe in the same way that we are trying to apply quantum encryption to transmissions by photons with fiber optics, for instance. So that's interesting. I would love to talk to Pablo more about this. Sounds like he has a lot to say. He's got some really interesting theories.
Now, absolutely. I do know that various governments around the world, for instance, do have sort of EM weapons, which they use to, they can fire it at you, Dave, and the magnetic resonance around you changes so much that you will feel emotions of fear and things like that. I don't know if they're used. I suspect they are, because heck, we have laser weapons now on our ships.
Yep.
But they fire the beam into people, and it makes the people want to leave that area. It doesn't harm them, doesn't kill them, there is no physical damage, but it's just so uncomfortable to be there. Your brain just goes, no, it's fight or flight, and it's always flight.
And thus the proliferation of drones continues. Because if you're going to use EM weapons, then, you know, might as well not even be there, right?
Well, absolutely. Warfare is getting so advanced now, probably thanks to alien technologies that we have uncovered,
mm-hmm.
You don't need a physical presence there anymore.
And going back to what he had to say, that kind of works into it the same way. He's talking about them not actually being here. That's interesting. All right. So one final little piece of feedback from Joanna Jorgensen via our Facebook page. She's actually from here in Ottawa where I live, which is she found about our network through a group that I'm part of. We're trying to form a local podcasting group, not just on Facebook, but start to have like real life meetings. So she's part of that group. And she said, I listened to the Alien Invasion and Exploring the X-Files, which is also on the Galactic Netcast Network. Thank you, Joanna. And loved them both. Really entertaining and well-produced. Well, thank you very much. That's very much appreciated. All right. Let's do our picks and warnings. These are alien, extraterrestrial related entertainment pieces that we have enjoyed, hopefully, because it is called Picks and Warnings, so it may be something that you have watched that, in the end, didn't enjoy nearly as much as you thought. So I'm going to go ahead and start with mine. It's called Area 51. It's a found footage movie that was released, I want to say, either last year or the year before. But I know it just recently became available on Netflix. And it starts with usually the way found footage movies usually start, with somebody either going missing or the story usually starts at the end, right? A lot of times. And that's how this story started. These people went missing, and the whole movie is explaining how they went missing in the first place. And it turns out, it starts with, and I'm not going to be too spoilery here, but it's all through handheld video cameras and body-worn video cameras. There's no music. There's no movie soundtrack in this. It's just basically something that you and I could put together with the right cameras. So it starts with these three buddies. They're happy-go-lucky. They're at this party. They're mingling. They're trying to impress the girls. And something happens. The lights go out. And this main character is doing karaoke. So he's singing. The lights go out. Power comes back on, and he's gone. They have no idea where he went. He thought he was, like, going out to, you know, get with some girl, or he was peeing in the woods or something like that. But it turns out he had an encounter with an alien. Like, he was either abducted or saw aliens, so he went out and saw what was going on. It greatly affected him. So after that scene, it kind of flashes forward, like, I think 4 months or so, something like that, and he and both his friends are really into aliens now. Like they've kind of the one guy kind of inspired the rest of the guys to follow his passions on this, and they hatch a plan to break into Area 51, and that's kind of where I'm going to leave it. But you learn a lot about how to covertly enter a high security government facility, and I don't know if the stuff they used is real, but it seemed pretty real. Like the suits they wore kind of masked their body temperature, so they were able to evade like heat sensors and something about amino acids too. I forget exactly what the deal with that was, but there's amino acid sensors apparently at Area 51. And they were taking some medication or some supplement to mask that. But it was really kind of interesting in real life stuff. And then the whole aliens, you know, what they're doing at Area 51 and what they see, what they experience. I wouldn't pay to see this movie, but since it's on Netflix, I would watch it. And that's where my wife and I watched it, and we really enjoyed it. So I'm going to give Area 51 3 out of 5 flying saucers.
That's respectable. That's a watch it if you can. You know, that's an invitation to watch. That's interesting. I've also seen this film, Dave.
Oh, you have? What did you think of it?
It's very formulaic in the way it gets there. I've seen a couple of ones, normally about contagions. There's the one, I'm trying to remember what it's called, based on Chernobyl.
Yeah, Chernobyl Diaries, right?
That's the one. It's very similar in style and context to that. But I watched it all the way to the end. I wouldn't have been as generous with my flying saucers. I'd have given it two.
Okay.
But it didn't put me off. It didn't put me off watching it. If you like found footage films and if you like aliens, you will like this film.
Mm-hmm. And there's not any other found footage alien films that I can think of. So this is first in the category, I believe. And some of the complaints were it took too long to get to Area 51. Like, there was too much setup. Do you agree with that?
Well, yeah. It depends. Well, Area 51, unless you're in Vegas, is quite away from most places.
Yes.
Yeah. You're. It's not a sort of like, well, I just pop over there. So if you're going to complain about real elements in a film, which is purporting to be found footage using real elements, then I don't. What is it you want from a film?
That's true. They did spend a lot of time in Vegas. That was part of the setup. Like, one of the main characters was from there, or they met her there. And then I think one of the most unnerving. This movie was really good at, like, being in whatever location and sneaking around. Like, they snuck around a property that they weren't supposed to be in. I'm going to leave it at that. I don't want to reveal too much. But that scene kind of freaked me out more than them actually being in Area 51, to tell you the truth, because it seemed more real. Like, I can't even imagine going into somebody's house and being there at the same time that they are. And how they got away with it it boggled my mind. But yeah, I say three flying saucers. I want to lean less than that, but I don't want to, but not much. Like, I can almost give it like 2¾ flying saucers. I think that's my final answer. 2¾.
Two flying saucers and a shuttle.
Yes, there you go. All right, let's talk about your pick, Daryl.
Oh, please, do we have to? No, this is something that I watched a while back, and I think I recommended it at the time to Anessa.
Yeah, and I think she actually watched it, and it was a pick of hers on the alien invasion, but it's always good to get somebody else's perspective on the same thing, so go ahead.
Aliens on the Moon. The Truth Exposed. This is a documentary on Netflix. Where would we be without Netflix?
I have no idea.
This is a synopsis. Freedom of Information allegedly released several moonscapes from the Apollo 1 to 17 astronauts, and scientists are interviewed about what appears to be large colonies and facilities on the moon. This is a decide-for-yourself documentary. Some contributors suggest Apollos 18, 19, and 20 were actually launched to investigate alien activity.
Hmm.
Now, I'm not an expert, Dave, but these got experts in. I'm a better expert than the experts they got in.
So their experts were experts, and I'm doing definitely. The finger quotes.
Yes, definitely experts. You've covered it quite a lot of times on Alien Invasion, where people see something in a photo and they see something else.
Yeah,
they don't. Yeah, I can't remember the name of it off the top of my head. This is that with one of the biggest pinches of salt you can imagine. I don't know where to begin. It's not a decide for yourself documentary, because they quite heavily go, these are structures on the moon. No, they're not, dude. They are. And if I say this enough times with enough really bad dramatic music, then you will start to say, these are structures on the moon. Dude, no, I won't. They are not structures on the moon. No, they're structures on the moon.
They're structures on the moon.
One of the things that puts me off a lot of UFO documentaries and things like that is they are done by people who don't necessarily understand any kind of cinematography. They have poor graphics and they have poor incidental music. There are companies out there like the composer that I use, the Fesleyan Studios, who will give you that music free if you ask them. And it seems they're not asking the right people. I can only give this 1.5 flying saucers. So one flying saucer and one flying saucer's shuttlecraft.
Wow.
I can't go any higher. It lasted for 1 hour and 20 minutes, I think. It only needed to last 20. And the thing is, I'm giving it such a high mark because I like photos of the moon. One of the things that I like doing at work when I'm not talking on the Slack channel to you guys when you all wake up is using Google Earth to look at Google Moon. I wanted more moon and more convincing argument from this, Dave. This is clearly a warning.
Okay, all right. I'm curious to remember, or I'm curious to find out what Anessa's score was, because I don't remember, and I'm sure it was, if not lower, as low as what you gave it.
Well, what can I say? She Anessa is clearly a sane, right-minded thinking individual.
Yes, she is. Speaking of that Slack channel that you talked about, you can join our Slack team and chat with Daryl at work. Just go to gncasts.com/signup. That's gncasts.com/signup. There's two links there. The first link is to sign up for our monthly newsletter, which should be coming out probably within the first week of July, if I get around to it. I'm very busy right now at work, but if not, it'll be coming soon. It's gncast.com/signup. You'll get that newsletter once a month. We're not going to give you your email to anybody, and we're only going to give you the monthly once a month. You'll get the email, and again, the Slack chat. I don't know if you're familiar with Slack, people listening, but Slack is basically an instant messenger / chat room. And you hear all about it all over the place now. So we have a Slack team, what they call a team, and you can listen or you can chat with the hosts of our podcasts. You can chat with former guests that we've had on our shows. You can chat with Daryl. You can chat with other listeners. So again, the link to go to is gncasts.com/signup and sign up to be on the Slack channel and getting the monthly newsletter. For more on this podcast, including show notes, contact info, and more, go to GNcasts. That's gncasts.com/aliens. And you can subscribe to this podcast by going to gncasts.com/subscribe or search for us on iTunes, Stitcher, Google Play Music, or anywhere where fine podcasts are offered. All right, Daryl, final thought. Do you have one?
Final thought? Is it the end already?
Yeah, it's the end.
What? Well, what happened there? How did that? What? Hey? Oh. Final thought, I think I've just witnessed time dilation.
You know what? You just witnessed having so much fun. What's the phrase? Having so much fun, the time goes by faster. I'm tired. I'm sleep deprived. What is it?
I don't know, Dave. I'm going with time dilation because I've been reading a lot about that.
Okay.
Thanks to the Sci-Fi Survival Guide out tomorrow.
Oh, do you want to talk about that? Hey, yeah, we need to talk about the stuff that you do on Galactic Netcast. So you mentioned the Sci-Fi Survival Guide. Do you want to give us a little bit more of a tease for the upcoming episode?
I am attempting tomorrow to help you survive should you be in a situation where a black hole is threatening your planet.
Oh, that sounds fascinating.
And as you know, I like to do a little production at the end. It's kept simple this time. It's not overcomplicated. There are no millions of sound effects that I have to time perfectly. This is nice and succinct, and it's my chance to stand up. That's all I'm saying. It's a proper tease.
Sci-Fi Survival Guide is the best sounding podcast on the Galactic Netcast Network. It is the most professional sounding. It's unique among the shows, and kudos to you for doing such an awesome job.
It's the thing which is going to drive me mad, Dave.
All right. So, and then you have the Doctor Who podcast, Who New in Reviews. What's new with that? You have some actual news now because they're filming again, right?
It's absolutely brilliant. I don't have to look as hard as I was for 9 odd months, it seems, for new news. They've just started filming. The sun has been shining in Cardiff. Mixed reports as to whether they are filming the Christmas episode. There's some rumours that they've already filmed that. Now, I don't believe that. I believe they are actually filming the Christmas episode. Why did it take so long to start? Well, they've had three production crews in Cardiff. They've had the Sherlock production crew, the Class production crew, and the Doctor Who one.
Mm-hmm.
But every day we're getting more and more set pictures, which I've been posting some on the show note link, but also I've started using a professional spotter, and we've got links to his website on the show notes as well.
Yeah, you were very excited on this episode, this week's episode of Who Knew in Reviews, that there was actual news. Like, I could hear it in your voice. Like, you were just shouting to the heavens.
So much that I actually forgot a news story, which you probably hear right at the end, where I go, oh yeah, and also there's like the thing at BBC Radio 4 iPlayer, just download it.
All right, so you guys should totally listen and subscribe to Who Knew in Reviews and the Sci-Fi Survival Guide. So that's going to do it for this edition of the Alien Invasion. Thank you for filling in for Anessa and Brad. Daryl, appreciate it.
It's been fantastic.
This has been a production of Galactic Netcasts, and we'll talk to you next time. You have been listening to a production of Galactic Netcasts. For more about this show and others, go to gncasts.com. That's gncasts.com.
I'm Carrie Sims. You may know me from the popular weekly internet game show podcast, Trivia Geeks, streaming live every Tuesday night at 9:15 Eastern, 8:15 Central. Like any podcast, Trivia Geeks started out as nothing more than an idea and a dream. Here at Blazing Caribou Studios, we believe in cultivating those dreams and ideas to bring fresh content to the masses. Click on over to blazingcariboustudios.com and click on the link Pitch Podcast Ideas. Your dream could be just one click away. Don't care how long this drives.